so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I'm starting a new series this morning called You Matter. Look at your neighbor and tell them, you matter. You do. You matter. You matter to somebody somewhere. You matter. In the book of Psalms, I want to use two different translations today, just because I like the wording of both. In the New Living Translation, in the book of Psalms 139, verse 13, when you get there, say amen. If you're not there, say hang on. If you don't plan on even trying to get there, say move on. A lot of y'all ain't wanting to go there. And you wonder why your life is the way it is. Let me move on. The New Living Translation said, "You made all my delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb." You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. I wished when he made me, he'd have took a little bit of this out. But anyway. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Boy, I like that. How many knows that folks are complex? There's a guy who's gone on to be with the Lord now, but he used to say, "Brother, people are funny. But not always in the ha-ha kind of way." And that was because people are complex. But he said, "Your workmanship is marvelous." Look at your neighbor and say, "You are marvelous." I think David was a little conceited. Because here's what David said. "Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it." That sounds a little bit conceited, don't it? How well I know it. The King James, it says, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Today, as we begin this series, the psalmist was acknowledging the fact that he understood that God created him. I want you to understand the fact that God created you. "Well, but Pastor, you don't understand how I was raised." I didn't ask you about that. "You don't understand about the abuse that I went through." I didn't ask you about that. "Pastor, you don't understand the way that I was conceived." I didn't ask you about that. Because really, none of that matters in this sense. What matters is for you to recognize and to realize that you were fearfully and wonderfully made. While you was in your mother's womb, I don't care if she was a good mama or a bad mama. We done celebrated that. It doesn't matter if she was good, bad, crazy. It doesn't matter if she was a crackhead, an alcoholic. It doesn't matter what she was. It doesn't matter what your daddy was. It doesn't matter that your daddy was a punk. It don't matter that your daddy was a loser. It doesn't matter that if your daddy was the president. It does not matter. God said, "I fearfully and wonderfully made you, so therefore you are something and you matter." And you need to understand that God made you and that you matter to him. Can you say amen? So the psalmist was acknowledging the fact that God had created him, and we need to acknowledge the fact that God created me. Now, we understand that God created me and he formed me, but my surroundings formed who I am. Help me now. Image you can't help. Likeness is in your hands. I was made in the image of God. How many ever know? When, you know, you mamas that had a baby or a daddy's, then you had that baby, you looked into that baby and began to see if you could see some of your likeness, some of your image in that child. How many of you ever done this who had children? When they do something bad, you look at your spouse and go, they got that from you. That's from your side of the family. That's crazy. That's right there. That's your side of the Jerry Springer. Right there, right there. That's what that is. Right? We all do that. But we look at it and see our image, but then they begin to build on who they become. All right? So I want you to know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, in America, point number one is this. We in America especially applaud and even worship to a degree celebrities. We love celebrities. Well, Pastor, not me. No, all you got to do is walk past the magazine section of any grocery store and they're plastered all over the place. All right? And I'm just appalled. And I know I'm going to show my age right here. But I am appalled and I'm just blown away that so many people are interested in what the stars had for lunch, who they're dating. I don't care. And what they're wearing or what they ain't wearing. I'm so sick of seeing Kardashian booty. Come on, somebody. I mean, who cares? It's as big as a house. Who cares? But we are elated or enamored with celebrity. On February 10th, 2007, I'm going to give you some stuff. A junior senator from Illinois, announced his candidacy for the presidency of the United States in Springfield, Missouri. You already guessed it. His name was Barack Obama. Now, I don't mean to imply any disrespect for him, but up until February 10th, 2007, I had never heard of the man, and everybody else had never heard of the man. All of a sudden, everybody in the world knows who he is. Now, there are some folks that we know just by seeing their picture, right? Let me show you some famous people. Everybody knows this guy. We know him. Tony Dungy, Tampa Bay Super Bowls, back when the Tampa Bay was good Tampa Bay. Ain't been the same since. Don't get me started. John Gruden didn't win the Super Bowl, just my opinion. Tony Dungy did. Anyway, he also won it with the Colts. But let's take another one. Everybody in Florida knows this guy. And every single woman in America wants to marry him. Amen. Everybody, I don't even like him, and I know him. No, I like him, I just hate his team, or his old team. That's right, I'm a Gator hater, that's what I am. That's right. That's all I'm going to say. All I'm going to say is when I worship like this. Hallelujah. Anyway, let's move on. All right, but everybody knows this guy. How about the next guy? Everybody knows this guy, or this girl. Oprah. Oh, yeah, I love Oprah. She gives such great advice. No, she don't. She's stupid, too. How do you know she's stupid? Because she still ain't married. Living with Stefan. That's your role model? Really? Let me give you another one. Everybody knows this guy. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Let me pump you up. Anyway, I'll be back. Everybody knows these guys. And we know them because of their success and of their being a celebrity. Here's one more that you might know. He's not even in here. But we know this guy because of his success and his celebrityism, right? But all of these people we know. We know these people because of their successes. We know these people because of their achievements. But we also know of some people who, until tragedy struck, they were seemingly insignificant. How about this? Prior to Tuesday morning, September the 11th, 2001, Life was normal in New York City. Thousands of people went in and out of the World Trade Center buildings without thought of concern for the day. Neither you nor I or the rest of the world paid much attention to these people going in and out of the World Trade Center. That is until four passenger airlines were hijacked by 19 Al-Qaeda terrorists. Now, two of the planes, American Airlines Flight 11 and United Airlines Flight 175, were crashed into the North and the South Towers, respectively, of the World Trade Centers. Now, everybody will remember where you were on that day. Everybody remembers watching with horror as we watched this attack on U.S. soil. Within an hour and 42 minutes, both 110-story buildings collapses, and in total, the attacks on 9/11 claimed the lives of 2,996 people, including the 19 hijackers. It was the deadliest accident, or the deadliest incident, not accident, incident, for firefighters and law enforcement officers in the history of the United States, with 343 and 72 killed, respectively. Until that day, I will confess that I had never heard of Al-Qaeda. Until that day, I had never heard of the Taliban. I had never heard of Osama bin Laden. So they didn't matter to me, neither did they matter to most of the world. But the world's eyes were not on Lower Manhattan in New York City prior to 9/11, but now all of the world's eyes and attention was on downtown Manhattan. All of a sudden, thousands of lost and trapped lives became the focus of the world's attention, and it would last until October 6, which was the last federal rescue team would leave Ground Zero. The world didn't know who Janelle Guzman was prior to 9/11. I had never heard of her, but on September the 12th, 2001, at 12:30 p.m., rescuers searching for survivors found Janelle Guzman, and she would be the last of 18 people pulled from the rubble alive. Now today, the names of every single person who died in the terrorist attack on the World Trade Centers are engraved in a constant reminder to us all that they were significant and that their life mattered, and they would be remembered. Matter of fact, when we bury our dead, we put their name on a tombstone so people will remember who they were. Because to somebody, their life mattered. To somebody, maybe not everybody, but to somebody, their life mattered. Oh, what a tragedy to live your life and never know that your life mattered. In the 11 o'clock service, we're going to celebrate some seniors that are about to take on this world, and they need to know that their life matters. You need to know that your life matters. On Friday evening, I'll never forget it, November 13, 2015, in Paris, the capital city of France, at least six terrorists set off bombs and began shooting until at least 130 people were killed and hundreds more were wounded. I remember that day because it was my 25th anniversary, and we were in Hawaii, and we came in from dinner and celebrating our time together, and we came in and the news was on, and we just sat down in shock, began to watch these people and what was going on there. These innocent people, seemingly insignificant people, who were simply going about their lives, were each and every one identified by local authorities and recognized by media reporters around the world. Within the hours of the attacks, everybody knew who they were. One moment, these people were insignificant. One moment, they were unimportant. One moment, they were inconsequential. One moment, they were almost invisible, but just a few of the 7.3 billion people living on planet Earth. But in an instant, both terrorists and innocent victims seem to matter to the rest of the world. Now, we know all these people. We've heard of most of these people. But why? Some exponential event took place and propelled their life into the spotlight. Because of one reason or another, the world stopped for a second to notice them. But we need to understand today that people that you and I bump into every day matter to God. I want you to hear me. People that we just pass by, people that we pay attention to, people that we choose to ignore. Oh, don't look at me like that. Like you don't choose to ignore some folk. Some of y'all trying to ignore me right now. But we know the people that we choose to ignore, they still matter to God. People that we run across in the grocery store, that we don't have any conversation with them. We don't know them. We can't stop and talk to everybody. However, I need you to understand that they still matter to God. You may pass me in the supermarket. You might pass me here, and I didn't stop and speak to you. Oh, the pastor didn't even know my name. And listen, and I confess that I don't know everybody's name. However, I want you to know that God knows your name and that you matter not only to me, to this church, but you matter to God. Point number two is this: every single person living on the planet matters to God. How can that be? You matter to God. You know, I'm number 10 out of 11 children. I know what it is to be left at church asleep. Y'all think I'm kidding? I went to sleep on the pew, woke up in utter darkness. Man, I was in darkness. I was like, And between my house and the church was a graveyard. And I had to go past it at the age of 17. No, I'm just kidding, 7. Scary time. And I got there and I said, what happened? I was out of breath from running. And you know how it is when you get scared, you run faster. And the faster you run, the more scared you get. And the more scared you get, the faster you run. That was my lot that evening. And I ran so hard, my little Oompa Loompa legs couldn't keep up with my body. And I was running as fast as I could with these little short legs. But I got there and I looked at my mom. I said, what happened? And she looked at me, what do you mean? You left me, woman. And she started laughing. And she said, oh, baby, I didn't mean to leave you. But you know I got so many. I just didn't do a count. Listen to me. You will not be left because God's got so many. He knows your name. He knows who you are. Matter of fact, if you would, I won't turn there before time, but in Matthew 10, 20, I think I do have it. Do a Matthew 10, 29 and 11. Here's what it says. What is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are numbered. Did you hear what I said? They are numbered. They're not just counted. They are numbered. And when you get up in the morning, if then one of them falls out, the Lord knows that number 226 just fell out. Now, for some of you, he don't have to count too high. Come on, Bob. Amen, Craig. Come on, brother. Give me a little amen here. Come on, Cliff. I see you raising your hand over there. He don't have to waste time talking to them. However, not only is every sparrow important to him, but also every single hair of every single person on the earth matters to him. And I've had people ask me, Pastor, how is that possible? I don't know. I'm not God. And when you realize that you're not God, and your preacher, most of you already know that, your preacher isn't God, your pastor, your priest, your confidant is not God, and you begin to realize that he is God, then you begin to get a little bit more calm in your life because you know that you matter to God. And if the preacher forgets your name, and this one may forget your name, and they forgot your address, God never does, because every hair on your head is numbered and he knows who you are. You matter. You've heard me say it before. It was not nails in his hands that held Jesus on the cross. It was his love for you and me that held him there. That is the attitude that Jesus had. It's an attitude and mindset that the Christian community, that the Christian in the world completely understand. People matter to him. People matter to Jesus. Let me tell you, and I know I'm going to make a little of you uncomfortable right here, but I want you to know that you matter to Christ, that the adulterer thrown at the feet of Jesus mattered to him. The little children the disciples tried to push away mattered to Christ. The widow woman who left the smallest offering in the offering plate in the temple, she mattered to God. His friend Lazarus, who became sick and died, mattered to God. People mattered to Jesus, and you need to recognize that I matter to Jesus. He died because I matter. He died because you matter. You need to know him today. You need to know today that you matter to him. I understand that in this world we live in, there are things that get pretty confusing at times, and we want to hate those who hurt us, and we want to dislike those that despitefully use us. We want to get upset with people that abuse the system. But I want you to know that every crooked person still matters to Christ. Every good person matters to Christ. Every diseased person matters to Christ. It doesn't matter who you are or where you're at today. I need you to understand that you matter to Christ. I don't care if you stumbled in out of the bar this morning. You still matter to Christ. I don't care if you got out of an adulterous bed this morning to come to the house of God. You matter to God. I didn't say that he condones what you do, but you matter to God. We matter to God. He died for you. He died for me. We need to know today that we matter to him. Do you know? Do you know who most of the terrorists are? You know who most of the gang members of Chicago, New York, Los Angeles are? How about the little towns in between? They are children who no one cared about many times until some religious extremist, or until some gang member, until somebody showed them some attention and made them feel important to the point that they would, that the kid would do whatever was asked of them or evil that they were shown to do because somebody said they mattered. My God, church. We've got children trying to raise children. We've got people who don't know how to raise kids trying to raise kids. Well, why don't they know, preacher? Because they've never was raised right themselves. We've got folks trying to raise kids that's never read a book. We've got folks who are trying to raise kids right that never read the Bible, that they didn't have a good upbringing, and they just are reproducing what they were out of, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Let me just tell you something, especially all you young men. Let me get on my hobby horse for just a moment, by jingles. We're leaving the hotel on Friday, about to fly back to home, and this pretty young lady. I was with my family, and the bellhop had taken most of our luggage, and he had taken them down. But I'm following this couple. I guess they were a couple. They looked like a couple. And they were standing at the elevator, and we decided to take the stairs. It was only three floors. So we took the stairs. The guy left the girl with two bags of luggage, and he grabbed his luggage, or I guess, and took his luggage down the steps. Left her up there. Strike one. Then she finally comes down. She gets to the bottom about the time we did. And I see them. They pass us. She's rolling two suitcases. And this joker's rolling one. Strike two. Then we get to the steps where you can't roll them down. He picks his up and goes all the way down, and the girl stands there with two luggage. And then he looks up and goes, "Oh, You want me to get one of them? Yeah, he did. But I'm quick on my feet. I grabbed one. I said, a real man's got it. Don't worry about it. Pastor, you might get whooped one day. Don't sing it. Bring it. Little punk. He's about PJ size. He's a big old boy. That's all right. But listen, we got folks that don't know how to treat a woman because their father didn't treat them how to treat a woman. And we got women that don't know they should be treated some way. Oh, don't get me preaching right there. Well, preacher, all the good men are taken. No, they ain't. If you'll raise your standards, the men will raise their standards. I promise you. Men are that way because they want what you got. Come on, somebody. Let me just move on before I get in trouble. All because somebody made them feel important. I thought that, you know, I know what would happen if that was my wife. I'd have made two trips, that's right. If that was my wife, see, I ain't got to ask. Because, see, my wife helps me. Listen to me. Ooh, my God, I don't know why I'm on this. Listen, ladies, you shouldn't be no beep beep woman. What's a beep beep woman? When a guy takes you out to the car and beep beep unlocks your door and you're supposed to get in? No. Now, you got to be ready for the consequences. But if you'll just stand there. Because, you know, we had two kids, and so my wife and I got into a habit of sometimes that I wouldn't open the door because I was getting the kids out. And so after the kids started being able to get a little older, I kind of got away from that a little bit. My wife brought me back. Amen. Amen. She brought me back. What do you mean? Because she did one of them. And I said, shoot. Got out of the car. I said, I'm sorry, baby. Open the door for her. We pull up to the parking, quit, cut off the car. I get out. Sit right there. I'm telling you that if you will raise your standards, you know, all them women that like bad boys, y'all just crack me up. I want me a bad boy. Then y'all in Pastor Steve's office talking about, he's so bad. Because you let him get away with it. Let me go on. I don't know why I got on that. But maybe to help somebody. I believe it's invaluably important that every child, every young person who walks through the doors of this church knows first and foremost that they matter. Why do we spend money on kids' church and not just to babysit? Because we want them to understand that they were fearfully and wonderfully made. Why do we spend thousands of dollars trying to undertake the youth? Because, again, parents aren't teaching that their children that they matter. I want them to know, Pastor John wants them to know, our staff wants them to know that they matter. It doesn't matter what the teacher said. It doesn't matter that they just throw them away. We've had, my goodness gracious, we've had people try to bring and have brought their children to children's church and leave. We've had folks try to drop their kids off at the nursery and leave. No. Mm-mm. Bring your lazy, no good for nothing self back on over here. Now, just because that you matter doesn't mean that you've got to be a pushover. Are you listening to me? I want folks to understand that you matter to God, that you matter to me, that folks matter to you, and that they matter to God, and they matter to this church. Point number three is this: people matter. Pastor, you've said that 100 times, because I'm trying to get you to understand it. People matter. Why do we count people? Because people count. We want to know who we're ministering to. We want to know who you are. We want to do our best. I mean, listen, I used to be, I don't know, some folks say that age kind of makes you be forgetful, but I think it's mileage. Because, man, I got some miles on me. Don't you say amen, I will come out there. I got some miles on, and I'm getting worse and worse about remembering people's names. But you keep coming. I'll figure it out. But I want you to know, even if I don't know your name, you still matter. I want you to know that you matter to God. You are not just another number. You're not just another face in the crowd. You're not another number in the world's population clock, which, by the way, will have grown over 13,500 people in an hour and a half. The world's population will be 100,000 people have already so far this morning. Understand something. You're not just important to us when a tsunami or a bomb hits, or when you become a movie star or a sports star or the next president of this country. You need to understand that you matter now. Where you are, who you are, you matter now. You matter right now. Not when you get saved. You matter right now. You matter right exactly where you are, exactly who you are, you matter. Well, if I matter, then why did the Lord let me go through some of these things? Well, I don't understand. I don't know that. But here's what I do know. Most of the time, what we go through, a lot of it is because of our own stupidity. Is that all right? Some of it's because we make stupid choices. And we want to blame it on God or the devil. There's another person involved. You. You know what? You know, I ride with a motorcycle group. And when we ride, when I'm riding, I pray, Lord, help me make right choices. I want to make right choices. You know why? Because I don't want to get hurt. Right? You know, I'm from the South, so the famous last words is, watch this. I don't want none of that. Hey, y'all, watch this. Uh-uh. You matter. Your existence is not insignificant. You have value. Your life means something to all of us. Your soul is invaluably important to us. We want you to know that. It shouldn't take a 9/11 or a tsunami or a Paris, France in your life for us to pay attention to you and realize how much you matter. We put on our sign today that we're starting this new series, You Matter, because I wanted to genuinely say to hundreds of people who pass by our church every week to let them know that you matter. Why do we have a food ministry? Because people matter. Why do we bring kids in on Wednesday night and feed them and use resources? Because they matter. You're not just a number. You're not just another passing car. You're not just traffic. But to us, to this church, to God, you matter. Your kids matter. Where you're at in your life matters to me. It matters to us. One of the greatest thrills that I get is to see somebody here in life and here in society, and then they get saved and God begins to elevate them and promote them. I love it when your family comes together. I love it when you get your finances together. I love it when God gives you that house. I love it when God gives you that mate. I love to see it because I know that it matters. Your marriage matters to us. Your kids matter to us. Good or bad, pretty or not so pretty, you matter to us. Skinny or not so skinny, you matter to us. Young or old, single, married, divorced, widowed, you matter to us. Can you say amen? Amen. Now I want to give a pause right here because I want you to hear me. Because I'm going to lose a couple of you right here. I know that. It's all right. Straight, bi, gay, transgender, trans animal, I don't care. You matter. You matter. There, I said it. You matter. I didn't say that God condoned it, but yet you matter. Loving life or hating the world, you matter. Never been to jail a day in your life or just got out last night, you matter. Red, yellow, black, or white, they are precious in His sight. You matter to God. Whatever your past religious affiliations or your past experience, you matter. Whatever Jesus, or you love Jesus or hate Jesus, I want you to know that you matter. Whatever doctrine, you matter. We care about you. We're praying for you. We're concerned about you. You matter as an individual. You matter as a church. You matter to this pastor and to this ministry team and the ministry, the most of all, you matter to God. You don't have to become famous. You matter. You don't have to become a statistic. You matter. You don't have to read about you in the newspaper or see your face on the nightly news. You matter. You don't have to destroy your life to get attention. You don't have to destroy your life for your life to be significant. I want you to know that God has a plan. God has a purpose. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you matter unto God. Your life is significance. Your life has value. Your life has worth. You matter. You matter to God, and you matter to me. You do not, you know that before a person, I think I had this, before a person that can move forward, what's my next one? Come on, give me the next one. Before a person who has faced a disaster in their life can move forward, they have to first understand that you matter. That you matter. That you matter. I want to say it again, you matter. I want you to say it, you matter. Look at somebody, tell them, you matter. And now I want you to look back at them and go, I matter. You matter, but so do I. I matter. I don't care how bad I messed up. I don't care how bad I've done. I don't care what people have said about me. I don't care whether the lies or the truth that was told on me. I want you to know that today I'm beginning to understand that I matter to God, that I am somebody. I can be somebody. I can do better, be more than I ever thought I ever could be, because I matter to God. Come on, give Him praise. Nobody cares. You matter. To someone, either to yourself, to your family, to your friends, or to God, in order to pick up where you left off, in order to get your life and your consequently your walk back with God, you got to understand that you matter. You need to understand one simple thing. You matter. But God, or but Pastor, my spouse walked out on me. I'm so sorry. But I want you to know that life is not over. You matter. Pastor, you don't understand. I was abused. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry somebody did that to you. But I want you to know that you matter. And there is a road back. This church is about seeing lives changed, church. We're about people who may feel like that they just don't matter, coming to an understanding that they really do matter to God. God gave me a vision 23 years ago of our church. And here's what He told me. He said, if you'll minister to hurting people, you'll never be without a crowd. Because I don't care how high or how low you are, everybody on the planet hurts at some point in time. You can see, God help me, Jesus. You can see the most confident looking people, but somewhere in their life, they felt inconsequential. Doesn't matter what they look like now. So we've all been there, right? See, it's hard for people to understand this. But if you were to know me, in some ways, I'm kind of shy. I know. You're like, there's no way. Yeah, there's no way. But in some ways, I'm shy. You've never seen me around a group of pastors who have their PhDs and their doctors and their doctor of divinity. I thought it was a candy. I remember one particular time in 2004 sitting around the table, and I was already feeling like I didn't deserve to sit at the table that I was sitting at. And about 8 or 10 of us were sitting there, and I knew it was going to happen because everybody was relaxing and getting to know everybody. We had done been doing ministry, and this was, let me just tell you a little funny part. I got a few moments. I thought it was so funny because we went to minister in the middle of Jamaica, not the tourist side, but in the interior, the poor part. And we did a Jamaican youth congress where 4,000 people came. And they had breakout sessions. And when we got through I was tasked with speaking on leadership to a group. And they could sign up, so forth, so on. And we got back into the van, and everybody was going, "How many did you have in your class? How many did you have in yours?" Couple of the big shots pastored big churches. Well, they were about this size, and we wasn't at the time. Couple of them, one of them said, I'll never forget it. Name is, I won't call it, well, we ain't taping. John Morgan, not John Morgan, Toby Morgan. He said, "I only had 3 people in my class. I didn't fly all the way to Jamaica just to teach 3 people." Another one said, "Well, you think that was bad? I had 2, one was 78 years old." I didn't say nothing. So finally, though, it came to me. They said, "How many did you have, Ronnie?" I go, "Well, I hate to say, guys, our room was full, and we had to open up the windows because other people wanted to hear. They wiped me out of all my handouts and then one of the notes I preached from." I said, "But I'd have been happy with 1. I'd have been elated with 2. But thank God." Now, then we're sitting around this table. And it happens so fast because sometimes I don't know what I'm thinking until I say it. And we're sitting around this table. And I knew it was going to happen. All these big wigs. And they begin. Because our Church of God University is Lee University out of Cleveland, Tennessee. And they begin to say, "What year did you graduate, Lee?" "Oh, I graduated blah, blah, blah." "What year did you graduate?" "Oh, I graduated cum sum laude, 1979. "What time did you graduate?" And they got around to me. And it's like, oh, God, Jesus. Because I didn't graduate. I graduated high school, thank the Lord. But not cum sum laude. And they got around to me and they said, "Ronnie, what year did you graduate?" And before I thought, "Brother Greg," I said, "Oh, I'm not educated. I'm just anointed." But I know what it feels like to feel insignificant. I know what it feels like for your senior high school teacher to tell you you'll be in jail before you're 21. Booyah! But somewhere along the line, I found Jesus. And my life scripture, my life's 100% life scripture, John 10:10. The thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, "I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly." And I've come by to tell somebody this morning that you matter. Would you stand to your feet? Come on, give me some singers real quick, real quick, real quick. Come on, Lisa, help me. Would you just turn to 2 or 3 people and tell them, "You matter. You matter." You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.